This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 224. What's going on? Matt O'Leary, Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's up, buddy?
I'm surprised you didn't start the show by going, ho, ho, ho! You got your little garland and lights there.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I wanted to spruce it up, make it look nice, and plus I knew it would get to you because, I don't know, you're just the Grinch.
I'm not a big fan. I like the holiday in and of itself. I hate all the fanfare around it. It's ridiculous.
Yes, so that's what I did yesterday. In the evening after I got my fair share of football in, I did a little decorating and a deep clean of the room / office space, which was very much so in need.
Beauty. Well, it looks festive. I'll give you that much.
Thank you. What's going on with you?
Festive in a way, but I knocked out most of my Christmas shopping already, which I'm stoked about.
Good, positive. We love that.
Yeah, usually I wait till like December to even think about it. This year I was like, you know what? I don't want to scramble around anymore. As much as I hate this holiday, I still have to do shopping because my family doesn't hate Christmas. That's for damn sure. So I went out and did it. I still got a few more things to do, but basically done November 29th. Feeling pretty good about myself.
Love that. So let's hop into today's episode because we have a lot to get to. And the starting one is the NHL finally shut down the Islanders. And I'm going to say a little too late, wouldn't you think, Mitch?
Yeah, a little too late. I want to bring up this one tweet from Chris Botta because he did it well, like laying out when everyone was added to the COVID protocol list. Just to give us all a sense, here it is, beauty. So November 16th, Josh Bailey gets added to the COVID protocol list. 19th, Lee Johnson. 20th, Green Pelech. 21st, Bellows. 22nd, Chara. And 27th, that was the most recent one when they finally stopped it and put an end to it, saying more confirmed cases. We didn't know how many, at least one more person. Like, it was just getting out of hand. But it's been getting out of hand for almost 10 calendar days here.
Yeah, it's been probably since last Saturday was when it probably should have been shut down.
Yeah, like it really should have. I understand. Last Saturday should have been the day. Honestly, like they had those two home opening days. That was when they come back home. Sorry, I'm getting my weeks mixed up here. Yes, they should have postponed the home opener, but I know they're not going to
or even not play the Toronto the next day because then two more people get added on for the Toronto game.
They did. You're okay, right. So absolutely.
Then maybe then at that point you do it.
Ideally the home opener should have been postponed. I understand they're not going to do that. And the cynics at home are going to say it's money. And you're probably right to at least a certain extent. There's also momentum and so on and so forth and whatever. So I can understand why they didn't cancel that opener. There's also a Western Coast team bringing them over is harder schedule wise. But you're right. Like when it comes to Toronto, they're not a West Coast team. Yes, it's a Canadian team, so the whole border thing kind of complicates things a little bit. But even then, at worst, you're going, okay, we got two Canadian teams in. We don't know what the border situation is going to be like, so let's roll these out. Why are you playing the Rangers game on the Wednesday and then the Penguins game on the Friday? Why are you playing those two games? Those are teams not only in the U.S., but in the, like, basically in the metropolitan area, New York specifically, and Pittsburgh obviously not, but still not very far away.
No, that's a reasonable area where a game could be made up rather easily, I would assume, on an off day. But I don't get it. I don't know why, like, Casey Cizikas was the final straw. Where it's like, okay, now we could do it. Like, I don't know. I'm happy that it's finally, you know, got to the point where they decided to shut it down because I think it's the right thing to do. But you notice that a Ranger tested positive today. God forbid that has anything to do with playing the Islanders, or if that's an isolated incident, we don't know. There's no way to know.
Yeah.
But if that's the start of something, now the league's in some real issues.
That would be rough, right? Like if another Ranger or if a Ranger tests positive because they played against the Islanders. And you're right, we're never going to know because there's no way to test for that. Like, oh, this is the strain that came from Zdeno Chara when he checked you up against the glass. Although he wasn't even playing that game, but either way, there's no way testing it. But you're right. Like, why does needless contact that is happening? And I understand everyone's vaccinated, or most of these guys are vaccinated at least. So the chances are lower, but they're not zero. It's not even that much lower. It's just a little bit lower. But even then, there's no reason. Like, it's spreading even just within the Islanders. Even for the sake of the Islanders, shut it down. Why did it have to wait another week and before the Islanders go on the road, I suppose, right? Even though yep. going to the Rangers isn't necessarily a road game per se, right? They're not having to travel to hotels and such.
No.
Why did they have to wait that long? I don't get it. And I know you don't have the answers either. We're both just kind of like, and I'm sure listener at home is the same thing, going like, WTF, why did Gary Bettman wait so gosh darn long to postpone these games?
Right, and now, so they didn't play Sunday. They won't play tomorrow. Probably not playing Thursday. What are they going to be good to go after that? I don't know.
Well, I kind of shrug at Thursday because you got San Jose coming into the arena, right? So that's a West Coast team. Yes, it's an American team, but still West Coast. They're only coming in the once, and making that up is a little bit harder to get them all the way from California over. Are they going to reschedule that game after having a two-day break? Not even two-day, like two-game break. There's 4 days between that, right?
Yeah.
Not even 5 days off before the game on Thursday.
But like then again, it goes right back to, is this fair on the Islanders because they haven't been able to practice, the facility shut down?
Yeah, that's a good question, right? Like, the facility shut down, their guys are all isolating, I would imagine, right? Like, everyone stay the F home. And then if we're starting to get guys off of the list, that's probably when they'll start opening things up. But,
We haven't heard,
right, they could really reschedule it. But you also have to figure, like, the rest of the schedule is pretty tight, man.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, it's not something that they were looking to deal with. Obviously, in a perfect world that doesn't happen, but I don't know. What are you supposed to do at this point? Just continue to run the Islanders out there with a skeleton roster, and more guys continue to test positive and more teams end up looking like the Islanders, then you completely water down your product.
Yeah, exactly. It really does beg the question, like, are the Olympics going to happen?
Don't know. That's going to be here sooner, you know, than we think.
Right? Like, that's 2 months away, right? The break starts, the last Islander game before the break is February 1st. And then there's a big break in the schedule before they head to California on February 24th. But that's a big chunk of time where games can be made up. So you can see the Rangers game and the Philly game slotting in there, maybe the San Jose one as well. You know, maybe bring San Jose over before heading back there. You know, you're just going back and forth between the two anyways. That could very well be done. But that's assuming they don't go to the Olympics. And we all know they very much want to go to the Olympics. Not only do the players want to go, but the league kind of wants to as well because, well, China.
Yeah.
So not going is going to have to take a number of teams have postponements where they have to look at this period and say, we've got to use that 3 weeks of time to reschedule games without burning out our players.
I would hope so. That seems like the smart thing to do, or the smartest alternative available, I guess.
And so far we've only got three teams that got postponement. Did the Penguins get a postponement at all this year?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I know for sure the two that did, but I don't know if Pittsburgh did.
I don't know if Pittsburgh did either. I know Ottawa, obviously. I know the Islanders did. San Jose probably should have had one as well, so their fans are going to be mighty mad that the Islanders did, and they're right to be so. So I'm not really sure, but if more teams get to this point, I can definitely see the NHL saying, like, guys, we need to make up some games. And I know the Islanders' schedule isn't indicative of everyone else's schedule, but it is clogged with games for the next 4 months, outside of February, of course.
Right. So, yeah, maybe you take one of those weeks that are supposed to be the break and say, all right, you know, make these teams make it up. I don't know. It's Gary Bettman has a lot on his plate now, all because they waited too long.
Yeah. And like the schedule does end in April, right? The last game is April 28th. And usually the NHL season goes till at least the first week, maybe even the second week of May. So I could see them also, if they do happen to go to the Olympics, tack that on at the end. That's also possible. But it's clear that they left May open either to start the playoffs a little bit earlier so that you're not in like July when the playoffs are still going on.
Yeah, it's tough.
Or to make up those extra games at the end there.
Yeah, it's... I don't know. I'm going to go right back to what I kind of said at the top here. I'm glad that it finally happened, but it's still not a good situation for a league to try to deal with the aftermath of this of, okay, now you canceled games. When the hell do you make them up?
Yeah, and you're right when you said just before I interjected, it was like, well, what about the end of the schedule? Gary Bettman has really had to really bungled this. Like, I don't understand why you waited that extra week. Well, like, that's the NHL's fault for not having a clear protocol in place when it comes to postponing games, right? I understand it's up to the doctors to figure out, like, well, is it spreading or is it not? And I obviously, I'm not an epidemiologist. I am not a doctor, nor are you, or nor are you at home, probably. But still, when you look, remember the names and the dates that we listed off with Chris's tweet there. Like, it just day after day, another player was being added to the list. That's spreading. That's gross. It's not stopping. So at that point, you go like, when do you say like, oh, we got to pull the plug? When it gets to 10? That's 50% of the playing roster. What are we talking about? Yeah. That 50% we call it. No. No. What?
Yeah, that's a bad plan if that was what the plan was put in place. And it would be totally different if it was like, okay, only Josh Bailey tested positive. He went to isolation. He stayed in Florida for however long. He's back. He's ready to go. But that wasn't the case. As he went through on each one of those days, for the first few, it was like two a day. Then you had a little bit of a break, and then Cizikas tested positive.
It was just growing, right? Every day there's another player, right? So like that needs to be stopped. That's a spread. I don't understand why it took so long. And we're kind of circling around here, and I'm sure you at home as well are going like, yeah, we know, but like it can't be said, it like we can't say it enough that Gary Bettman really has, for lack of a better word, I guess, egg on his face here, because this was absolutely a huge and abject failure of player safety, right? The NHLPA has got to be pissed the F off. And if they aren't, why the hell not? Other teams have to look at this as well and say, when are you going to call our games? No way in hell are you going to wait till there's 10 guys out. What the hell are you talking about, Gary Bettman? We need a better protocol today. The NHL and NHLPA have got to figure out a better protocol when it comes to postponing games and just like, we'll have to wait to see. It'll be at the discretion of the medical advisors, which needs to be worked in, but it can't be like when the medical advisors say like it's too much because you're at 50%. Yeah, I guess we'll call it. No, they've got to have like some indicator of growth here. And it needs to be a lot more clearer than it is.
Absolutely. So as of now, no games for the next little bit here, but wanted to get on, you know, as early as possible to talk about this because it's big news. It's, you know, it's something that a lot of people have been calling for a while and wondering why it didn't happen. And now that it finally did, it's, you know, worthy to talk about.
Yeah. And you're right. Like, it's not necessarily fair to the Islanders either, right? Like, they've got to battle through this in some way or shape or form and try to put out a product. At least the Islanders still have some good players out there. But could you imagine, like, the Ottawa Senators had to go through this with 10 guys out. The Ottawa Senators are bad with those 10 guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like, I don't know, not an AHL roster, like an ECHL roster.
Right? The Islanders are maybe a little bit better because they've got some guys around there that are still good. But still, you surround those guys with AHL talent. Like Matthew Barzal, with all due respect, was playing with a third liner on his left wing and an AHLer on his right wing. And it didn't work. No doy.
Go figure.
Right? Like, I love Zach Parise. I think he's a good fit there. But you still have a pretty sizable anchor with Richard Ponick. And he was okay, but okay isn't good enough.
No. No, it's clearly not. And then that kind of gets into the whole conversation of, all right, well, in the midst of this, by the way, Islanders also in an 8-game losing streak. And nobody's scoring. And they're missing a ton of key guys like Adam Pellick, Ryan Pulock, Brock Nelson. So not only is it like, hey, yes, it's a number of players who have tested positive. And I don't want this to sound like it's me saying, like, if, I don't know, if Ross Johnson and Kiefer Bellows were the only ones, like, I wouldn't care about it. Like, no, it's still a very serious thing. But some really key players on this team are the ones who are missing time right now. And yes, I mean, Pulock and Nelson are injuries. They're not COVID related. But when you have, what, three guys in your top six out, it's not going to look good. And that's shown with one goal in the last three games.
Yeah, your three of your top six are out. Most of your defensive core is gone, and this is a defense-heavy team. Your number one defensive defenseman is gone, and we saw what happened the last time the Islanders were without him.
Yeah,
it didn't go well, and it's not going well again. Like you're missing all of these pieces, so it just wasn't fair to them because you're going, cool, Richard Ponick, hope you can save us. Robin Salo, let's see what you could do. Hope you can keep us afloat. And the kid's like, I'm 22 and this is the first time I'm playing in the league. And this is not a fair burden. I'll take it. I'll give it a shot. But if I fail, like, you're not really setting me up for success here.
No, and he's been fine. Like, I like Robin Salo, and he's been pretty good. Should he be playing 23 minutes a night? Probably not. I think that's probably a little too much to ask out of him right now.
Yeah, and I think Barry Trotz would say the same thing, right? Just look at Noah Dobson's ice time in his first 2 years.
Right. It took him how many games under his belt before he started getting like 18 minutes a night consistently?
Even 23, right? He's playing like 85 minutes total in all situations over his last four games.
Yeah, it's nuts.
That's insane.
Oh, boy. So anything else on the shutdown before we move this thing along?
No, we already talked about if it can go any further, and maybe, so we'll have to see. If any other player gets added to the list instead of taken off, this is going longer. If anyone comes off the list instead, I think we'll see games on against the San Jose Sharks.
Because that's the thing, too. Like, it's not like we've heard anyone be like, okay, they're out of COVID protocol. Like, I know they're not playing games, so maybe that's why, but it's not like, oh, you know, Anders Lee had a negative test. We haven't heard anything like that.
Well, Josh Bailey should be, right? He was able to practice with the team. Yeah, that's one. Wasn't there another one that was coming out? You know what? Never mind. At least Josh Bailey. I'm pretty sure there's someone else, and it's just not coming to me right now. But
Chara?
Josh Bailey for sure. Nah, it wasn't him. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's fine. So we know that my God, that Josh Bailey is coming back. So that's one coming off. Ideally, no one else is added.
Of course. So obviously we kind of hinted at the Islanders and their 8-game losing streak, and they need a fix. So what you did today, you wrote about maybe taking advantage, of another team who seems to be out of it. So do you want to kind of spin the conversation in that direction now?
So as we all know, the Montreal Canadiens have made a number of changes or moves to the top end of their not roster, but club. So the GM, Marc Bergevin, is gone, as are his assistants. I was going full French, getting the hard H's there. And then we've got Jeff Gordon, former New York Rangers GM, in there as executive vice president of hockey operations, basically pulling the strings. He's the one doing everything. He's going to name the new GM, so on and so forth. This is them getting around essentially having a French GM, basically, right? They've got their guy who they want running the show who can't speak French, but they're going to get a guy who is going to be the figurehead at the front running the show to speak French. Either way, changes are coming for Les Canadiens de Montréal. So what does that mean then for the rest of their roster? Right, their owner says, we're in need of a fresh start. Cool. Okay. Well, usually what that means is you're going to sell some pieces. Not everything. They're going to sell some. Are there players on this roster that the New York Islanders can use?
I would think so.
Yeah, definitely. But like, everyone avert your eyes from Nick Suzuki. That's not happening. Like, right. Let's relax here. I think that's the only player on this roster that is just not movable. There's no way that you're going to get Nick Suzuki, and that's it.
No, yeah, absolutely not. So were there any players in particular who like jumped off the page to you where you're like, okay, maybe that's one that could make sense?
The first one that makes the most sense is Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good. He has 15 points in 23 games for them. And he's someone who I feel like his name's been brought up a ton with the Islanders over the years.
Yeah, well, he's got some 20-goal seasons. He's got a 31-goal season, had 28 in 52 games last year. 28 in 52. Pretty sure that's a pace of 44 or 45, if I remember the math.
28, 52, let's see.
Right, like, of course, that means, 44. You know, it was, yeah. He was playing against Ottawa and, well, the Canadian teams all year. So the caliber of competition was not quite high last year. But either way, he still did it. So, like, that's a guy that you go, all right, I can probably see him moving. Then you look at the cap situation. He's on a four-year deal, second year of that four-year deal with a $4.25 million cap hit. Three more years to go. Like I said, he's 29 years old. He's got no trade protection to speak of whatsoever. Could they move him? Yes. Is it going to cost a whole lot? Probably not. It's not going to be cheap necessarily, but it's not going to be this big blockbuster. They're going to have to sell off the farm to get him.
No, he's not someone who you'd have to sell off the farm to get, but I mean, he's a solid top six player, which I think is exactly what, you know, the Islanders would be asking for, right shot. What's his contract situation like?
4.25 straight for the next 3 years.
Okay, that's not awful.
Yeah, no signing bonuses. Base salary changes a little bit. 5.125 for the next 2 years and then 3.5 in the final year. So in that final year, he becomes pretty darn god trainable. A tradeable, not trainable. Right? Like his cap is 4.25, but he's actually only being paid 3.5. So if you have to offload him, you can find someone to take that monies.
Right, absolutely. But that's something you worry about if you have to and you have to cross that bridge there. But that's definitely one that jumps out and makes sense. What about on the back end? Because I know someone are going to say, hey, what about a puck mover?
Yeah, so Jeff Petrie's the name that screams out at me. I know some of the people have their eye on different players like Ben Chiarot because he's got a deal that's expiring, but it's Ben Chiarot. He's not necessarily moving the needle forward. He's solid defensively, but he's not, like you said, a puck mover. Jeff Petrie is that guy. That's the guy who's put up 40-plus points in the last 4 years. 42 and 55 last year, 40, 46, 42 in the last 4 years in a row. Now, obviously, he's not off to a good start this year with 2 points in 23 games.
Yikes.
But this is a guy who scores at 5-on-5, who scores on the power play, who just gets it done offensively. He's a right shot, which doesn't necessarily fit the Isles, but I'm sure they'd be willing to move around if they can get him. The problem is getting him.
Yeah, that would be, it's going to be a lot to get him. I know he's off to a slow start, but you're going to have to give up a lot. But I don't know, maybe you'd have to move on from, like, I don't know, one of the righties. I don't think Pulock, but any of the other guys.
Yeah, there's also the idea of his contract is not great for the Islanders. He's got a 6.25 cap hit for the next 4 years. This is year one of a four-year, $25 million deal. And he turns 34 December 9th. Yes, yeah. On December 9th. Okay. So you're paying him until he's 38 at 6.25. I would assume he's gonna have to waive his modified no trade clause and modified straight no move clause to make this deal work. And if so, then the Islanders don't have to worry about that because they might just not bring it along. So he might be movable later on. But you're also dealing with a guy who's got a lot of salary cap, sorry, not salary cap, signing bonus money left, a full $8 million over the next 3 years.
Yeah, so then that's going to be tough to move on if you had to, you know, down the line here as well.
Yeah, that's just it, right? So, like, he's not going to be a guy that is going to be easy to move necessarily and definitely going to be movable. If he was on the last year of his deal, this is a guy you run for. But because he still has 4 years left at that kind of cap hit, the Islanders have to stay away from him. But he's really the only guy on that roster who's a puck mover that's obtainable.
Yeah. Oh, I'm looking at it right now. There's not really anyone else who's jumping out to me.
like maybe Chris Weidman. He's got 8 points, 17 games this year. Put up a ton of points in Russia last year, right? 41 points in 59 games with Nizhny Novgorod. But at the NHL level, he's never really done much or played a lot. Like his biggest year was 76 games with the Ottawa Senators in 16-17 and put up 17 points.
Yeah, so that's not really, I don't know, do you look at that as an upgrade?
I don't think so. Another right shot defenseman, 31 years of age. I don't see that as an upgrade necessarily. I really don't.
No, I don't. It's not like he's getting a ton of ice time either. He's playing under 15 minutes.
Right. So like maybe you can see him as an upgrade to Green, but the Islanders really like him. So are they going to like Chris Weidman more than Andy Green? I don't think so.
No, I think they're perfectly content with Andy Green. So I don't really look at that as someone who's, you know, he would come in and get playing time over Green or Chara, especially having to play on the offside too, as he's a righty.
Yeah, exactly. It's just not going to happen. I don't think so. When we look at Montreal, I don't think there's a defenseman on there that we can pull. And outside of Tyler Toffoli, Mike Hoffman might be the player, but he's injured. So I don't see that happening.
No, I mean, well, that's a goal scorer we've been begging for forever.
Yeah. So like if he comes back, fine. I think he's on the mend, like he's starting to get better, and I believe he's practicing with the club. He's got a $4.5 million cap it for the next 3 years, which is, you know, not low, but it's not crazy, specifically if he can do what he did in Florida, right? Like maybe St. Louis wasn't great for him last year, but when he was in Florida, you're talking about a 36 goal scorer and 70 point player in a full season.
Right. And that's pretty reasonable price tag for a guy who, you know, can pop in 30 goals if need be.
Yeah. Of course, surround him with enough talent. Now you also have to get into the whole locker room situation. Is he a fit in the locker room? I'm not entirely sure of that. I'm kind of 50-50 on that. I could be convinced either way. But you see, they seem to like him in Florida. They liked him in St. Louis. They like him in Montreal. That's 3 out of 3. So, all right. It's not been terrible for him in terms of locker room issues. So maybe it's worth a shot.
No. And it's not like I was surprised. So you wrote something about Evander Kane. And I was surprised that there were any rebuttals to your take, which I get. Like, do people just not know the situation? Is that it? Or are they just don't care about these other external factors?
Why do you hate winning so much, Matt? Apparently that's a reasonable argument. No, like, yeah, obviously we all want to win. Of course we want to win. But there is to a certain extent the delicate ecosystem of the locker room. And when you bring a guy in that they don't like, that's not going to go well in a locker room like that.
And I mean, there's good reason not to like Evander Kane for some of the things that are alleged against him.
Yeah, or have already been proven, right? The whole vaccine thing. Do you think Lou Lamoriello is going to bring in a guy who cheated on his vaccine card? Bodie Wild's playing second-tier Swedish league because he didn't want to get it. He was upfront about it, and he's like, I don't want to get it. And they're like, hey, well, you have to go to Sweden. This guy's like, not only do I not want to get it, but I'm going to lie about getting it to try to get around it. Yeah, let's bring that guy in. Lou Lamoriello's going to love him.
Yeah, I don't see how that one makes any sense.
He's talented. Of course he's talented. I don't think anyone's denying his talent. It's his fit in a locker room. This isn't Ted Lasso, where you can bring in Jamie Tart and everything's, they all hate him, but they turned it around. Jamie Tart wanted to be a good person, and it's a fictional TV show.
Yeah, I don't even think Ted Lasso could write a script for this working out for Evander Kane here.
I really don't think so. I would love to see Jason Sudeikis try, but I don't imagine it's going to work.
No, neither do I. But, interesting thought here, though, going to Montreal. As you said, one, their season's been off to an awful start. And number two, like, usually changes like that means that, you know, the roster changes are coming too. So,
yeah, everyone there that isn't already locked down with trade protection is shaking in their boots. Brandon Gallagher would be a huge get for the Islanders. Just the style of play is perfect for the Islanders. But he's the heart of the team, and he's signed to a $39 million 6-year deal. So then this is year one of that deal. So that's $6.5 million cap it for the next 6 years. And he is 29. So like that's very much Islanders-esque, right? Like you look at Brock's deal, you look at Lee's deal, it kind of fits. Bailey's deal as well. But like, man, that's a lot to bring in for a guy like that, I would say. But when Brendan Gallagher is on his game, that's a 30-goal scorer right there.
Yeah, that would be nice.
He's Leo Komarov with more skill.
With a lot more. Right? Yeah, with a lot more.
Like hyper-pest with a 30-goal potential. That's my French coming out right there.
But that's Lou's dream.
It is. It's just that contract, I don't think, is going to allow them to do it. Plus, he's the beating heart of that club. They don't want to move him. It's just not going to happen, I think.
No, yeah, I don't think so either. I'd be stunned.
So that's it. No one else is really doing an overhaul, and Montreal isn't necessarily even doing an overhaul as well. But they said fresh start, and they brought in a whole new management group, or will be bringing in a whole new management group. Anyone who isn't, like I said, locked down to trade protection is shaking right now because they're probably getting calls to move them somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's absolutely one way to look at it. So we'll see if there's any changes there. I would imagine so.
I think so too.
So shall we get to down on the farm then?
Yeah, so let's talk about these four guys that I wanted to bring up. Let's not go a whole like recap of the week type of thing, because obviously there's a lot happening with like some 30 odd prospects in the prospect pool. But there's four guys that I picked out that I want to talk about. The first one is Alexander Ljungcrantz. That's a third round pick from 2020. They're the first pick that they made at that draft. He was sent out on loan from Brunus to Vita Hassan. That's the same club that Simon Holmstrom played for when there was no North American hockey being played.
Right.
He's played 2 games, scored 2 goals, put up 6 shots on net.
Ooh, okay. That's positive. We like that a lot.
He's doing well. In his first game, he's playing on the fourth line. Second game, second line. They like this kid. And okay. He's got, you can see his skill. You can see his hockey IQ. It's not skill. You can see his speed. He's a speedy, speedy winger who likes to cut to the middle and just is finding all kinds of soft areas to get into. And just the 2 goals he scored right in the slot. Nothing special. He's just standing in the slot for the first one. They find him, throws it in. The second one, he skates into the slot, finds him with a pass, throws it on net. It's in. Like, he's getting to high danger areas and converting. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, it's not rocket science here.
No, so everything's going well for him so far in his stint with Vita Hassan. So that is good to see. And then I want to bring up Henrik Tikkanen, because if I can bring up the stats here for the league, he's done well recently for another Allsvenskan side, but Modo. In the last 2 games, he's got a .935 save percentage for them. He's allowed 4 goals on 58 shots. Oh, no, wait, sorry. 4 goals, 58 saves, .935 save percentage.
Okay.
In those 2 games. If you remember, that's a 7th round pick from that 2020 draft. That's the massive, massive goalie, right? 6'7".
Yeah, big guy.
So I'm just trying to bring up the stats here. I think his overall stats for the league aren't great, but his stats of the last couple of games are very good. So I'm just trying to bring that up now. And that's what you want to see. When a guy goes over to a new club, you want to see him start doing well. And that's exactly what he's doing there for Modo. I keep bringing up, Vita Hassan. So he's got 18 games played, 2.54 goals against average. So not fantastic, but not bad at all. And a 9.11 save percentage right now.
Okay.
So that's up. Like, yeah, that average is going up because the last couple of games where he's got a 9.35.
Right. So, okay. That's very much so trending in the right direction. I'll sign up for that.
Yeah. And then there's William Zvul, who, as we all know, cannot stop scoring goals or putting up points. It's gotten to a point where it's absolutely ridiculous now. And I just want to bring them up here. So right now he's got 36 points in 22 games, 18 goals, 18 assists. So just split 2 for 2 or 50%, right? Which is
good.
Freaking great. But in his last 10 games, in his last 10 games, he has at least a point in each one of those games.
Okay. More good signs.
And it gets a little bit better than that because in those 10 games, he has 18 points.
Mm. Okay.
So he's scoring like 1.8 points per game over the last 10 games. And he's not just doing it against slouch teams. He's doing it against some pretty good teams. And even then, like, if this keeps up, he's going to hit a franchise high in terms of points.
Wow. I mean, that's great for the Islanders. What's the expectation there? Is he going to start making a move anytime soon?
What do you mean by making a move anytime soon?
Like, I mean, where is he now? He's in the what? Q?
He's in the QMJHL right now. Yes.
Okay. So any in terms of like going either AHL or anything like that?
Right. He wants to go pro as soon as humanly possible. But that's not going to happen until next year at the earliest. He'll be able to play in the AHL next season. Mm-hmm. I would suspect that they sign him to a contract, but I've said that about Russ Nishikov. I have no knowledge of them talking to him about a contract. I'm sure they're going to wait and see. But as it stands now, like there's no reason not to sign this kid. Like he's absolutely dunking on the QMJHL. He's got nothing left to learn there.
Right. So, okay. It was more of a question on the eligibility of when he would come over and stuff like that. So, okay. Good to know.
Yeah. So he'll be 20 in January and you've got to be 20 years old to play in the AHL. So he'll be fine.
Okay. Awesome.
And then last one is Ruslan Ishikov, who is playing. When I spoke to him last, he said that he got to play a bit. But when I looked at the game sheet, he wasn't listed there. So I'm still trying to figure out where he's playing. But I think the big takeaway here is like, where is he playing? Oh my God. It's that he's back from injury, that the injury is healed, that it's been 10 weeks now and he's getting on the ice.
That was a long time. That was a long 10 weeks.
Yeah, man, that's a long time to be out. So he's getting back. He's healthy. He's not feeling any pain. Things are going well. So this is good to see because, man, they've got to sign this kid. Like, I'm sure it's going to take a little bit for him to get up to 100% on the ice. But when he's running at 100%, he's hyper creative. It's why they drafted him in the second round. Just generates all kinds of offense. He learned some defensive. He still has to learn some defense, but he's got it. He's going to be able to do so. I don't think he's going to be a center come the AHL or NHL level, but he's going to be one hell of a winger at the pro level in North America. I have no doubt about that.
Okay. That's a great sign.
But we'll see if the Islanders do it, right? He's definitely undersized for North America, but he's got all kinds of talent, man.
Yeah, the talent's never been a question with him.
No. So that's my update. Those are the four guys that I wanted to talk about. Do you have anyone else you want to talk about at all?
No, that was good. That was a solid update as always. And, you know, love keeping a finger on the pulse of those Islanders prospects.
Doing our best here, buddy.
All right. Shall we get to the quiz?
Yes, let's go. I cannot talk today. My goodness. Anyways, as we do every week, there's a mystery New York Islander for you and you at home to guess. The clues get progressively easier as you go. You have 5 clues to guess who they are. Are you ready, Matt?
Let's do it.
Clue number 1. I was drafted in the 90s. This is very clear, right?
I'm going to say Zdeno Chara.
Incorrect. Good guess, though. 2. I played for Acadie Bathurst and the Lowell Lock Monsters.
Okay, next.
Okay. 3. I played on 4 different NHL teams. 1 of them twice.
Were they drafted by the Islanders?
I didn't say if they were or not.
Okay. All right, I'm going to hold out. I'm going to ask for another clue.
4. I could have been a legend here. By here, I mean the Islanders, not here, Ottawa.
Yeah, it could have been a legend here. Drafted in the 90s.
Ryan played on four different NHL teams. One of them, obviously, the Islanders.
Ryan Smith?
It is not Ryan Smith. Nope. Good guess. Five. I was traded to Florida.
Roberto Luongo?
It is Roberto Luongo. Okay.
There we go.
Good job. Yes. Got you all the way to the five, but I had to be vague AF with some clues.
They were very vague clues, but all right, we were able to figure it out.
Drafted in the 90s. Here's 10 years worth of drafts. Go.
Yeah, 30 different teams in the league. Oh, God. Okay.
What a jerk move.
Love it. Okay, Roberto Luongo.
So good job by you. The only reason he came up is because there was talk about like Team Canada and the Olympics and stuff, and like he might be in the organizational structure for them at some point.
Cool. Okay. Love Roberto Luongo. Obviously wished it worked out here, but I liked him in the league. Good player.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. First ballot Hall of Famer without question, in my mind.
I agree with you. Let's get to the social segment. We'll see what's going around on Isles Twitter this week. Anything good jump out to you, buddy?
First thing here from André Legault saying, would it be good, at Legault66, would it be a good idea to throw fish sticks on the ice if they lose? That being for Islanders fans. Yeah, I'm an Isles fan who heard that joke many times in the 90s.
Oh, God. The fish sticks. Anytime you can make a reference to the fish sticks, got to bring it up.
So the reason he brought that up is because there's a sign at a Vancouver Canucks game that says Fire Benning, and then André is replying to someone, says, if Montreal loses, look for a Fire Gordon sign, right? Because they had hired Jeff Gordon, and then the Gordon's fisherman six come up. It makes a lot of sense when you link it all together.
There's layers.
There you go. We got there.
My first one's not exactly Islanders related, kind of. It has to do with a past player, but just someone that I feel good for. And I think once I say it, you will feel the same as well. Nick Alberga says on Twitter, I'm here for the Kyle Okposo resurrection. That's now 6 goals and 8 assists for 14 points in 22 games this season. I don't know any Islanders fan who has any kind of dislike for Kyle Okposo. So I just wanted to throw it out that he is doing well, and I am very happy for Kyle.
Absolutely. I had that as my third one, not the same tweet, but something on the same level. Someone saying like, hey, trade deadline. Anyone? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Now that's a return.
That would be one hell of a return. But like, are they even? I haven't figured out where Buffalo is. They just lost to Seattle 7-4, so I can't imagine they're doing well. So let's bring up the standings here. Yeah, okay. 22 games played, so that's a lot. And 19 points. So they're, 5 points back? They have a game, not even. Pittsburgh has a game in hand on them. They're 3-6-1 in their last 10. All right. Okay.
He's got 2 years left, right? At $6 million.
Yeah. Could they hold some money, you think?
Like half? Like half?
Yeah. Can you take half, please? For 2 years is a lot. That's a lot of money to hold for 2 years. Okay. I thought it was maybe, 2 years is still... Yeah, man, that would be so great if Kyle Okposo came back. No signing bonus money, no nothing. Oh, that'd be great. Maybe next year when everything is figured out again.
Mm-hmm. For a storyline.
That would be intense. Third line winger Kyle Okposo doing the business. Yes.
I love it. My last one comes from Arthur Staple. And the first little bit is a little bit of an ad, so I won't read that part. But the last part, and to Isles fans, next week we've got a new reporter coming on to focus on your team. Think you'll like what's next. So we're losing out on Stape, it seems like. I know he's been doing some Rangers stuff, but it seems like we're going to have a new Islander-specific person at The Athletic.
Yeah, I'm interested, obviously, to figure out who it is. It sucks to lose Staple, but... Yeah, he's been doing it for a while. Like, he's not going to just do the same job forever and ever. Then he's doing the Rangers gig, I suppose. Or I guess maybe he'll still do both.
I would hope it's still both, too, because I like his Islander stuff. Maybe it'll be more of like New York based he'll do, and they'll have like an Islanders and Rangers specific person, if that makes sense. That's my thought, yeah, at least.
That makes sense to me. Hopefully it's a little bit of the both, but we'll see. I'm interested to find out who this person is. Hopefully it's someone we know already, because that would be fun. And if it's not, then hopefully it's someone awesome, and I'm sure it will be.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, maybe I thought maybe like you'd drop a bomb here and be like, yeah, it's me. I'm the one who's going to the Athletic to cover the Islanders.
I make too many typos for the Athletic. Let me just say that.
Love it.
But if the Athletic is listening, man, I sign me up. Sign me up right now. I will join you ASAP. Like the Athletic, please.
Love it. Anything else from you in the social?
My last one here comes from Jackie Redmond. I think we all know who she is. You know, I love me a woman who mixes hockey and WWE. Becky Lynch chirping the Isles in their brand new home on WWE Raw. So she's up there saying the Isles are crappy and making fun of us because they haven't won in their new barn yet. That's fun. That is entertainment for sure. Oh,
yeah. That's so WWE, Becky Lynch. What does she call it? She calls herself like the man or something like that, right?
I think so. I don't know, because I'm not big into wrestling anymore. But she seems like a big deal, which is great. I don't know if she's a heel or not, but this is a pretty heelish thing to do, so I would imagine.
It is. I think she is a heel. She's from Ireland, so I like her for that. There we go.
Cool. Yeah, she looks cool. I like the big puffy pink coat with the... She's loving that she's some sort of champion. I don't know what the championships are anymore, because I haven't watched wrestling since the 90s, but I don't know. She seems important. That's cool. And she's, you know, they're playing at the UBS Arena, so why the heck not?
Yeah, absolutely. So wherever you listen to the show, please make sure to subscribe, give a rating and review. You can follow along with us on social media. Twitter is Eyes on Isles FS. I'm Matt O'Leary, NY. Mitch is TLO Mitch. Facebook.com, Eyes on Isles. Patreon.com/Eyes on Isles. $5 a month. Post game podcast when they actually play. A mailbag show, which we're going to get to. And a Discord channel. So a whole lot of fun over there. And what else we got? Did I cover it? Is that it?
That's everything. You got it, man.
Okay. I don't know why I was second guessing myself. I thought. Maybe not. Anyway.
You never know.
Never know. That's going to do it for us. I'm Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson. And we'll talk to you next time.